welcome on into One Nation. Andy Petrillo, Jordan Wilson with you. We were with you until very late Sunday night. We're back at it on Monday because we have a lot to dive into, Jordo. The Gold Cup in particular with Canada and all the stuff that went down in that game. How you feeling? Are you awake? Are you okay? Because we ended up staying a little later than usual, although we were highly entertained.
Late night when it has to do with football, I love it. I don't mind going an extra hour. I think I was sliding in the studio. I literally put a hole in my shoe and
you
I had to
do the electric slide.
I did the electric slide. I slid like I scored when Schaffelberg scored.
You did.
It was an emotional night. So I'm more drained from that than anything else.
And then the fruit wore off.
It did.
So you had a major sugar crash just
yes,
before posting.
Because I'm trying to eat clean now. And I missed my candy yesterday. I think I would have probably had a bag and extra time and then a bag when I got home just to get over the loss.
Yeah, sometimes we just need a camera in studio when the game's going on.
A lot's happening.
There's a lot happening in studio. But we got it all together and we were watching alongside with you. And one thing we also talked about even before the game and how Canada was going to be successful was doing all them CONCACAF things. CONCACAF the USA. And there was a lot of things that happened in the game, but we're going to just fast forward right to the penalty kicks because the Americans had, you have to stand at the halfway point. You know this, right? So penalty kicks happen. You have to stand at the halfway line, and the Americans were refusing to stand there. They were just being a little difficult, and the ref was like, Can you just stand there?
Yeah.
Can you just go where you
need
to go? Follow the rules, right? So BJ Callahan was asked about that afterwards. And he's like, yeah, we just wanted to show we're here. We are here. What did you make of that tactic?
So before I get into my thoughts, just explain to the viewers or the listeners about what are CONCACAF things. Like, for the people that don't really know, what do you think, like, how do you describe that?
It's basically mastering the dark arts.
Love it. That's a great way to put it.
that's what it is.
Yeah. It's like kind of being, you're going against the rules, but you're staying in that sweet spot, standing over the ball, pushes after the play. Those little things that won't get you a yellow card, but kind of stun the game a bit.
Just annoy people, and I feel like that was your...
Oh, that's my expertise.
Yes, on the pitch.
I live there. Oh, for sure. I live rent-free in
so
many players' minds.
Can you appreciate what the Americans were doing there?
I can appreciate it, but it also hurts being on the receiving end of it.
Course.
Look, when... I knew exactly what was happening. When the Americans want to get to the halfway line, all that was doing, what Steven Vittorio was in the box, holding the ball or getting ready to take the penalty kick. So that's time where you're hearing USA chants. You're in USA. Maybe you're thinking, should I switch up my penalty shot? Should I go in a corner this time? Should I go down the middle? As the time keeps going and the Americans don't back up to the line, you know you're supposed to be at a halfway line. When in football ever have you looked at a penalty shootout and players aren't on the half? They know what they're doing. They're buying time. And for me, that's smart. I've done many things in a penalty shootout that now that I'm sitting with you, I can talk about. I can admit and say, forgive me. I can remember clearly in Canadian Championship last season, I took the fifth penalty kick. I scored it. And that means Marco Bustos has to score to win in the quarterfinals against Pacific FC. And as we're passing each other, so I scored and I went also in the goal to get the ball.
Okay.
You're not supposed to do that. But again, I want to kind of control a little bit, grab the ball, mess with Callum Irving, but also mess with Marco Bustos, everything. Give Nico Giant Stoppers a little more time. As I'm walking by Bustos, I'm looking at him and smiling. He's kind of looking down. And I said, the stage is yours because he has to score to win and he's at home. Maybe it did nothing, but maybe it did everything. Maybe it did just enough to be like, ooh, there's pressure. His fans were chanting behind the goal. He knows he has to score to win. There's a lot on his shoulders. And I didn't say much. I just said, the stage is yours. And he kind of looked at me. But I have a heart, so I apologize.
What ended up happening? I can't
remember. He missed.
Oh.
Or actually, Nico saved it.
Oh.
Nico knew where he was going because Marcos Bustos, a couple years before, shot the ball in the same exact place and beat Nico. So he remembered it, saved it, big save. But I would like to think I had something to do with this, saying the stage
is
yours.
Take credit.
Put a little pressure on him. Now, after we won, I went to him directly and said, hard luck. Because that must suck. You're at home,
oh,
you're the
you
big
really
dog.
Oh, you really felt bad,
Like 5% of me felt bad. Just enough to say sorry. What I'm trying to say is, that's a part of the game. It's sad that Canada was on the receiving end of it, but you have to do all that you can do in a penalty shootout. Because after it, you're just thinking about, oh, I could have done more. So if it's trash talking, if it's stepping a bit forward and not being at the halfway line, if it's grabbing the ball at the end of a penalty shootout. You even saw Kamal Miller last night. When he scored, he celebrated. Then he grabbed the ball quick because he's like, hey, I want to give it to Dane. because that's another thing. Give it to your goalkeeper. Maybe he can give it back.
It's just throwing rhythm off.
It's just throwing the rhythm off, doing whatever you got to do to throw a little spanner in the works.
I'd walk by somebody and say, don't be nervous. By the way, I licked the ball and then hand it to them.
Straight licked it? Licked it and give it?
I licked the ball. Here, have it. BJ Callahan, by the way, though, just a little bit of love for him because we know that this is his final tournament. Obviously, the Americans are moving on to the semifinals. But the amount of love that he's also getting on social media from the fans in particular, since he's been in charge, 5 wins, you know, 1 loss, 20 goals scored, just 3 goals against. I know Greg Berhalter's coming on in. A lot of people didn't want to see Greg Berhalter go to begin with. We're not going to get into that whole mess. But, I mean, BJ Callahan, just as a manager, he's definitely, I don't know about how, what you feel, but I feel like he's showing the world he's ready to take over another federation.
Absolutely. He's done well, specifically in the Nations League final. I thought he got the tactics right. But even with this group and then this new group, which is basically, you could say, MLS All-Stars, but he's getting the best out of them. And
Whatever group he's had.
He's looked like whatever team he has going forward, he'd bring out the best in them too.
Yeah, I know for the Americans, it'll be sad to see him go. So we'll dive into this a little bit more. This was the second time that the Canadians and the Americans went to penalty kicks at the Gold Cup. First time was 2002. That was 0-0, and then they go to PKs. The Americans walk away 4-2, victorious in that one. This time around, they beat the Canadians 3-2 after a very exciting 2-2 final. And I wonder if this game, given the fight that the Canadians put in, yes, they're out. They go out at the quarterfinal stage. Given the game, given the personnel as well that John Herdman had to work with, the substitutions that were made, just the fight to the very end. Do you feel that the Canadians gained that momentum back, at least with, you know, the fan base? The diehards are always going to be there. We're talking about the casuals who jumped on the bandwagon during the World Cup, which I always say the more the merrier. I don't care if you're jumping on the bandwagon, come on over. But the thing is, with those types of fans, if you don't keep producing, they inevitably just lose interest. So the World Cup qualifiers was this incredible ride. And then the World Cup, according to John Herdman, the players, I'm not saying anything, I'm not telling tales out of school here, was a massive disappointment. They got the goal, but nothing else. So that was a disappointment for them. Nations League final, obviously we know disappointment. But even though they get knocked out here, the way they lost, fighting, scratching, tooth and nail, have they changed the momentum back in their favor?
They have. In my opinion, I think it's admirable the way that they fought. I think for me, and I said it yesterday on our post game, for those of you that didn't hear, but that's like the building point now. That's the minimum that Canada can bring. If they can keep that up in terms of this is what we bring every time we wear the jersey, and then you can add the tactics and the chemistry and getting your big dogs in and maybe you're a better team. But I thought that was missing in the Nations League final. And now I've watched that twice. And looking at that match against the U.S., but then looking at the match last night, Sunday night, against the U.S., two different teams. They were locked in. They were ready to give. You saw countless times Osorio in our own defensive box blocking shots, players getting their body just to get in front of a shot. That's a desire that can always keep you in games, right? And then there's those little margins that maybe tip you over. A margin yesterday was when Schaffelberg scored 2-1. That's the time you're kicking the ball out in the stands, keeping the ball away from your goal. That's the next little bit that Canada will learn and grow. But I don't think you can build off of that unless you have that desire and that work rate and that energy that they came with last night. And I think that is something that should be praised.
It does make you wonder what could have been if the bigger name players were here. And we know that even at the last edition, the big name players, many of them, Davies, they missed out. We understand the schedule so jam-packed. I will never begrudge a player for saying, I need to rest. And this is where it's kind of unfortunate for CONCACAF to put the Nations League final and the Gold Cup back-to-back. And we know that the Nations League final, 2 games, right? Because you make the final 4. So you have 2 games. A little bit easier. I mean, easier as far as on your body, physically tasking, as opposed to a tournament where you have to play 3 games in the group stage, obviously try to get out quarterfinal, semifinal. It's a longer commitment. But if you are some of these guys now, I mean, are you looking at this saying, I don't know, maybe the Gold Cup is something we should be a part of? You saw how close they got. You saw the crowds. You see how the fans get involved. It is a tournament that has a deeper history than Nations League final. Do you think that onus should be on the players to pick and choose, or do you think CONCACAF maybe needs to do a better job at scheduling?
A bit of both, but I would say I think players as well. I understand being a foreign player. I didn't play at these guys' level where you're going 11 and a half months out of the year. But I think prioritizing playing for your country and winning a trophy and playing at the Gold Cup, that needs to be a priority. I look at Jamaica with Antonio, Gray, Bailey. Big dogs have come in and looking like a strong team. Now they're in the semifinals against Mexico. Who knows what can happen, but at least you know this is your best team. You're going to go and win a trophy or put a team together to go and win a trophy. I like the experiment that happened with Canada in terms of young players coming in and getting their caps and seeing how great they can do. And that's a tournament where you can really push yourself into a squad. You've seen it all throughout Gold Cup history. Like Jonathan David, for me, was a big name when you saw him a few years back in the Gold Cup. Tayshaun Buchanan as well. I think like even Liam Miller stepping up this World Cup. You just see that's a time, those four games are crucial for a player's career. But I would love to see Canada specifically bringing in, even if it's not all your big dogs, at least half or a majority. Build a team that you can go and compete and say, look, this is a strong team coming out of it. So I think it's a bit of both. When I look at CONCACAF, it's hard to mandate that, right? Because players might need a break or there's injuries. But even just for Canada, just go out and say, hey, we want to win something. And you can only do that if you have your best players doing it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer of the group here a little bit, but it's going to be perhaps 2 years before Canada has a chance at winning a trophy again. Yes, you know, they're most likely going to be participating in Copa America next year, but I think it's safe to say that they're not the favorites if they're in Copa America competing. And then they have to wait to, you know, another Gold Cup, and then obviously you have the World Cup after that. So Nations League final followed by this Gold Cup, these are the best chances for Canada to break that 23-year drought for the men's program. And I can imagine that there's probably some different emotions in that room. Overall, they're all upset that they haven't moved on. That goes without saying. You're a competitive athlete. You play to win. But I saw in Stephen Vitoria post-game, he looked completely stunned. This is an older player who knows that his chances as well of winning a trophy with Canada start to dwindle. But if maybe you're Ali Ahmed or Bombido or Jacob Schaffelberg, you're like, yeah, it stinks that we're out, but I think I made an impression.
Yeah.
I still have years ahead of me to help this program win, right? So it's kind of this little seesaw of emotions, and everyone's feeling a little bit different on this team. But, you know, Jacob Schaffelberg gets that goal. We love him. Friend of the show here on One Nation, had him on in March, and we were singing his praises. And the way, again, you celebrated in studio when he scored the goal, it's like you scored the goal. Proud papa moment for you.
I believe in Jacob Schaffelberg, but I think it's the way that he scored, right? Skip pass one. I love when players say, yeah, I'm not going to pass. This is my moment. Like, puts it on his left foot, strikes it, and then as a defender, it goes between his legs. You can always dream when it goes between a defender's legs because the keeper can't see it, right? Also gets deflected, but he struck it with enough venom that it goes in goal. But look, for me, that was a bigger moment because we mentioned it, right? March 14th, we had him on the show. Yes, I checked. I looked it up. We had him on episode 5. If you haven't heard it, go and listen to it.
Go download all the episodes and listen to them.
I think we're at 21 today, so go back to 5. But look, we had him on, and he was playing top form football in the MLS and for Nashville. And we're saying, well, how are you not a part of the Canadian team? It's hard to break into a team. You have to show that you're about the team environment, but also that you stand out, that you have an X factor, that you're a bit different. But he's done that. I think when he came on, outside of the goal, when he came on last night against the U.S., he was the ace card. He was that card that you could play down the left side that was just causing havoc. And then, of course, it's nice. You're going to talk about the goal. But this is a guy playing with confidence, and I think that he deserves to just be in the group.
I think that's what it is. When he stepped on the pitch, by no means did he look intimidated, even the other games. He looks like he belonged. He just did not look out of sorts whatsoever. It's going to be hard for him to crack the lineup, just simply, again, if we're talking about the big stars on this team. This team has players who can score, and Kyle Larin and Jonathan David, and obviously on the flanks, at least right now, in many ways, the way Herdman plays certain systems, it's Alphonso Davies and Tayshaun Buchanan. But if he changes up a system, if he plays Alphonso Davies as left back, you kind of open up that side. Who knows, right? But at least he's made a case for himself.
Can I
and
say
that's
something
all you can
quickly
ask for as a player.
About, you brought up John Herdman. I wasn't going to do it, but then, since you brought it up, tactically, he's been ridiculed a little bit. Obviously, one being Croatia, playing two in the midfield, then starting, well, Nations League as well, but then also going into the beginning of Gold Cup. Why are you playing three in the back? I thought his tactics last night, superb. Who he put on, superb. The fact that you nullified Sands, everyone's talking about Sands for the U.S., the center midfielder, defensive midfielder, and Mihailović and all these players, they had their poorest performance. And that wasn't because they were poor on the night. Canada made them poor. So that's a difference too. You can have a day where players aren't showing up and you live with that. You can't be perfect all the time. No one's perfect from the day to day. It's hard to do that as an athlete. But when a team causes you to be poor, and Canada did that to the US by just sitting back, being a bit more defensive, structured and pressing at the right time, I thought he did a lot with this group, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for how he went about that game. And you just have loved to see that translate into a semifinal berth.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of positives to take from that game.
Speaking of positives, young player, before we head to some other young players on the women's national team, who stood out to you in this tournament for the men?
I mean, I think Ali Ahmed takes the show or steals the show. Moise Bambido, I think he has a bright future as well, just because it's
given
not
the situation
easy.
He was put yes, into, your not, midfield, your center back, your midfield.
You're basically replacing Eustachio in a system. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I got to do the things that he does. But then you shift in and have to complement your own skills. So I thought that he was physical. I thought that he has still a lot to learn. But him being green and raw, he did very well in that midfield. He was a bright spark for me.
All right, so Canada sadly bows out of the Gold Cup, the 2023 edition. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we do see them in September in that window. I think we will, but we just know what Canada Soccer has been saying as well financially and being able to afford some of those friendlies. But now that you see these young players and you see that they're getting their rhythm, they're feeling comfortable, get them a game. I don't care. You got to get them a game.
Agreed.
Get them a game. The women are going to be playing games. Are going to kick off
Come
the
on.
World Cup, Australia, Woo! New Zealand, July 20th against Nigeria, or will they? We'll get into Nigeria's financial woes and threatening to boycott that first game. But let's start off glass half full instead of glass half empty. Over the weekend, Bev Priestman named her 23-player roster. And, you know, obviously Christine St. Clair highlights the roster. Well-known names. Jordan Heidema, this is a player who a lot of people, including myself, putting in my starting 11, which is spectacular given the turnaround, because this is somebody who didn't even make the Olympic roster. She was struggling, made the move, left PSG, went to NWSL and said, I have to get playing minutes and I have to score goals. And that's what she's doing. But surprising everybody is 18-year-old Olivia Smith. This is somebody who was playing at Penn State, playing university ball. This is somebody who just represented Canada at the under-20s at the championship in the spring to help the women qualify for the U20 World Cup. And she also played in League One Ontario last year. We're waiting to find out where she's going to sign. There's rumors that she has signed or is about to sign with a European club. We don't know. They haven't said just yet, Jordan. But she's clearly not just impressing on the pro side of things. She obviously knocked the socks off Bev Priestman, because as an 18-year-old, she made the list. Do you think this was, an 18-year-old? I mean, I don't know. How much playing time do you think she's going to get? Is this a wise choice?
I think it's a wise choice. I have so much to say about it. I think first, if you haven't seen the video on Canada Soccer's Instagram page, you need to watch it, or the site. It's on One Soccer Twitter as well. Look, this is a feel-good story, but there's two things that stick out to me. It's potential. So coaches gambling, I use the word gamble, I'm doing air quotes for the podcasters, gambling on a younger player, knowing that in 4 years' time, what they could be. So maybe she's not going to get a lot of minutes this tournament, but she's in the environment. She's smelling. She gets a taste of the World Cup. So that's beautiful. So it's potential. But then for me, when I listen to the video, it's also about chemistry. Sometimes when you have, even if it's the 22nd, 21st player on a roster, you just like to have them buzzing around in training. You know what that does to older players as well? It just unites a group. When you have the oldest player in Sinclair working, and then you have the youngest player in Smith working, everyone in between has to find their spot, right? It's not like she's on a vacation, Olivia Smith. She's delighted to be there. She wants to go and show. So she's going to show that in training as well. God forbid there are a few injuries, or God forbid there's a...
there are injuries.
A depleted team. She might be someone that could get a sniff and get a mention. So sometimes it's about balancing a team and also keeping that player with potential, giving them that opportunity to be in and around a squad, because that is just huge for a potential future.
Yeah, she beats out the likes of Clarissa Larissy, and Marie Esmond Aladou. These are players who do play pro, but Bev Priestman has seen something in her to the point where she beat them out, she's on the roster, whatever that is. You know, is she pushing the older players? Is she pushing for minutes? What about the chemistry? And again, she just played in a pretty big tournament at the U20 level, springtime for Canada, came up big with some goals here.
Banging in goals.
To help Canada, you know, secure that spot at the U20 World Cup. So speaking of injuries, right? So injury list, so we know who's not going to be there, and that will be Janine Becky, Desiree Scott. Jade Rose was at camp but left. Who seems to have made a full recovery, Achilles in particular, Nichelle Prince, Deanne Rose. We know Shalina Zdorsky was dealing with a lot of health issues. Didn't know what was going on. So she took a bit of a knock there. I think she ended up finding out she was celiac. Like, there was just a lot of things going on. She's fought back. She appears to be ready to go. So what is your level of, I'm gonna take the positive here. What's your level of optimism for Canada here on a scale of 1 to 10, knowing that they're clearly fit enough to be on this roster, but we also know that they're coming back from injury. Nichelle Prince in particular has not gotten into games. Deanne Rose has, but what's your level of optimism?
So I'm an optimistic person by nature, but I'm just going to look at the isolated situation here. I would say pretty high. I would give it a good 7. Now, I will say this in preface. I'm not expecting Nichelle Prince to go and start and play 70 minutes off the cuff. That is not a situation that I anticipate. Or Jade Riviere. I expect these players to play instrumental moments, whether that be the last 20 minutes or the start of a half, whatever it is, you bank on them having their moment, building them up for that moment. They have to maybe tailor their training sessions, specifically with Nichelle Prince, because she's dynamic going forward. Pacey takes on players. You don't want to just burn her out as she's coming back from her Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. You want to pick those right moments. So Bev Priestman obviously has faith in them to have them in the squad, but it's just about tailoring, one, their workouts, but when you use them in games. But I'm really positive because I think specifically with Nichelle Prince and Deanne Rose, I think knowing the players that you're playing with and that chemistry, you need some ace cards. Both of those players are ace cards as well.
I like 7. 7's nice. 7's nice.
Happy.
Maybe.
When in doubt, you always say 7.
Maybe 7.5.
Or you're pushing it.
Oh, 7.5. I do like the depth, right? I do like that. I mean, Adriana Leon, unfortunately, hasn't been getting a lot of playing time. But based, you know, if you go back to the fall, winter with this team, banging in goals, I do feel like that will come for her.
Yeah.
Again, I like Jordan Heidema, Evelyn Vien, Chloe Lacasse, now signing with Arsenal. Like, these are players who are getting, you know, consistent playing time, who, to your point, like, if Deanne Rose and Shell Prince can't go a full 90, you have this depth. Maybe that's why Olivia Smith is well brought on board. The midfield, I think, will be tasked, though.
Yeah.
I think Grosso, Fleming, Quinn, I think they're going to be busy. I'm going to be very, very, very busy. So, you know, we'll see. This is a marathon. We know that the World Cup, as opposed to the Olympics, a little bit more of a marathon. You do have a little bit more time to grow into the tournament. But, you know, that's where you need all hands on deck. But even though I had said July 20th is the first game for Canada against Nigeria, they're threatening a boycott because their federation withdrew their match bonuses. And this is so disappointing. It's like whenever, you know, you feel like the women's game has taken a step forward, it's like their own federations in some way can have them take 3 steps back. And the reason, so here's the thing, FIFA, for the first time ever, is going to pay the players individually. They're going to give them, if in the group stage, they're going to give them $30,000 each. And then, of course, the number starts to increase the further along you go in the World Cup. Not to mention the federation still gets their money for qualifying for the World Cup. And FIFA has done this because the women have been undervalued by their federation, and because certain federations have withheld money from players in the past. So now Nigeria is like, oh, FIFA's going to give you $30,000 each. We're not going to give you money. It's like, no. That's not why they did that. They did that to ensure the women get paid. You still have to step up and do your part. So this is BS on so many levels. You can tell where I'm going with this. Not to mention South Africa just boycotted a game against Botswana. It was a friendly to get ready for the World Cup. And then their federation still threw out some mishmash of players out there, including a 13-year-old. Obviously, they got destroyed by Botswana. But it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? The whole point is to advance the game. And now you're just like, nah, we're going to go back. We're going to go backwards. It's not making sense.
You hate to see it. I don't have much to say on it. It doesn't make sense.
Did I just go red from like here up?
I don't want to make light of the situation because it's actually disheartening to hear about these stories. But look, Are you snapping with your left hand? Are you a wizard? How do you snap with your weak hand? You're just like, boom, boom, boom. I can't. Yeah, no, maybe that's just a normal thing, but I can't do that. I can only snap with my right.
Listen, if I could cast some spell on that Federation to pay money, I would. I wish.
They need to. I think, look, where we are right now in 2023 as well, and the way that the women's game has grown but is growing, you got to do it. You got to do it.
I just think that's such a kick in the pants. Like I said, it's such a landmark thing for FIFA to do. And it was based on a study, by the way, that even FIFA did back in the fall after FIFPro, as you know, the major union for the athletes, even wrote to FIFA to be like, here are the numbers. Here are the stats that show the growth of the women's game and how they are undervalued and how many of these women who compete at the World Cup, many of them don't even have pro clubs or they play semi-pro. There's just a lot that's undervalued. And a study was done by FIFA where they're like, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is not good how federations treat their players, how some federations treat their players. I'm not going to say all. Yeah. So that's why they said to ensure that the women aren't getting you know what over, we're going to make sure we put money directly into their pockets. And now the Nigerian Federation is using it against them. Not cool. Not cool at all. Absolutely horrible. So we'll see how that goes because obviously that affects Canada.
Yes.
That's their first match at the World Cup. Let's play a little game of word association. Love I think games. We have about 5 minutes left, so we're gonna bomb through this, all right? So the prominent figures in the past few days for the national team, I'm going to say their name, and you're going to give me a word that you think of, what comes to mind when I say their name, and why.
Okay. Sounds simple enough.
Dane St. Clair.
And I have to say one word?
One word. Let's go.
Ready.
Okay. Oh, that's kind of like self-explanatory, but ready as in ready to compete or ready to take over Milan Borjan?
That's up to Dane St. Clair. That's up to, if I'm going off of last night, ready to take number one spot, but being a keeper is about consistency. Okay, our boy, John Herdman.
I'm going to say fearless. To your point.
High five me, Holmes.
Sorry, I have a pen in my hand. Yeah, that was a weak high five. Like looking, all right. It goes back to what you also discussed about tactics. This is, someone, he did have veterans on the team, but he also had veterans who were underperforming in some ways. And then he had to maneuver a little bit, especially with his young players. He had to make quick decisions. I like the fact that, hey, if I didn't like a guy the way he was playing, Bombito, again, in that game, came out quickly, brought in the young guys, different formations. Fearless. I do like that. That's how you have to be in many ways as a coach. Because you know it can backfire on you, but sometimes you got to go for it. So he did. Bev Priestman.
I'm going to say inspired or inspiring. Let's do that.
All right.
And my reason is just the way that she's balancing this team. I think having a young player and Olivia Smith come in, just there are a lot of injuries, but she's balancing it. She's inspiring for sure.
Okay,
my question to you. Taron Campbell scored a hat trick yesterday for Forge FC. What's the word that comes to mind?
Wrecking ball.
Jeez.
Wait, is that two words? Doesn't matter.
I mean, I think it's a hyphen. Yeah, there's a hyphen in there.
It's a hyphen. Okay, yeah, so wrecking ball. That counts. I love it. And he went in there. Forge needed wins. They're no good. They've been losing a lot. With those three goals, he also ties Meyer Bevan now with Cavalry for the league lead in goals. He's in that golden boot race, which he was in 2021.
Yes.
We need that Taron Campbell back. So I like just wrecking ball. I'm coming on in, and I don't care whose feelings I hurt.
And it's crazy because he was like a third string number nine for them, man. He's coming and been number one.
Yeah, move out the way is what Love he it. Said. Tommy Wheeldon Jr.
I'm going to say steadfast. He had a hard start to the season. A lot of calls maybe didn't go his way or the games didn't go his way, but he's found a way to just be patient with his team, and now they're in second place.
Okay. Do we have a little bit more here?
Yeah, just one more. I give Vancouver Whitecaps, they had a 91st-minute loss to the Sounders. What's the word that comes to mind?
Maybe it's a little confusing.
Ah, fair.
You know, they're the CAN champs. One win in four since the Canadian Championship win, back-to-back national champs. I know they're still fighting kind of back and forth for that playoff spot, but they leave me a little confused right now, right? Because it's a winning team. They already have a trophy this year.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what's happening?
What happened?
Final one, Bill Manning.
Heartbroken. There's just a lot of turmoil.
Wait, him or the fans?
I'm going to say Bill. Bill's a bit heartbroken for sure. There's a lot going on, man. And even, I'm not even going to get into it. But I'd say heartbroken. We'll leave it there.
All right, there you go. Oh, my goodness. Bombing through that show, my friend. Lots to get into. So the men will wait and see for the national team if we see them in September. The women We'll be kicking off July 20th. We're going to have ourselves a World Cup show.
Yeah, how really excited are you for it?
I am so excited. I love this.
I'm excited for you to host it and also just school me to the game as well, because we do all these shows and this is my way to do a fast track in this industry.
I'm also just excited that the World Cup is in the summertime.
It's nice.
Where it's supposed to be.
Patios, margaritas, all the good stuff.
We'll be having that on One Nation.